Happy Sabbath. It is truly my honor and privilege to be here with you and share my conviction this morning. And on behalf of Elder Dan Jackson, the president of North American Division, I would like to welcome you for this worship service. And thank you, Pastor James, for the kind introduction, sir. And thank you for allowing me to torture your congregation for this Sabbath. And you know, I've been talking about you a lot, and in fact, last Thursday at the General Conference, the Week of Mission, they asked me to feature several churches in North America doing tremendous ministry, the holistic approach to our community, and I brag about you. And so I am very excited personally to be here this Sabbath physically to worship with you. And it is truly, truly my pleasure to be part of this congregation. Well, without further ado, my topic for today would be, what is our mission? Why do we exist? And how do we share the good news in 21st century? The message itself does not change, but the way we deliver the message has to be relevant. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer and begin our journey. Father in heaven, we thank you for the life that you have granted us. Please let me not speak my own wisdom and knowledge, but yours. Enlighten us, move us, and shake us so that we can hear your voice and have courage to follow your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that the mission of the church is community outreach. It's not ouch, it's community outreach. Amen? And the mission is thereby primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. And God is a missionary God, and mission is thereby seen as movement from God to the world. The church is viewed as an instrument of the mission, and there is a church because there is a mission. Not vice versa. You know, some time ago, I was at a campsite, and I saw this huge box, well decorated, and it was humongous, and impressive looking box. But it was going down with the river's current. But at the same time, I saw this tiny little fish right below my knees, going up against the river's current. Two objects crossing each other's path. One is going down with the river's current, the other going up against. What was the difference? Life. You see, the box was very impressive, well decorated, but because there is no life in this object, it goes down with the river's current. But this tiny little fish, it's not even good for a sushi. No, I mean tuna. But because there is a life, it goes up against the river's current. So if our church, if we do not have clearly defined mission, then we'll be no different than a box that going down with the society. And I think we have a clearly defined mission, amen? And that mission, it has basically three functional tripod. First is discipleship. We are here to equip and develop children of God into discipleship. This is why God said, go and equip and develop disciples. And the third, taking the message, the three angels' message, the everlasting gospel to the ends of the world. And the third, the community transformation, where our institutions are located, church, hospitals and schools, where our institutions are located, the immediate community must be the heaven on earth. Must be different community than others. Amen? And as you recall, in Acts chapter 17, when the Christians were impacting the society, the people are coming from Hellenistic background and Judaism, and and the Gentiles and whatnot. And here, the Jewish leaders, they were very uncertain about these changes in the society. In fact, they begin to ridicule the Christians, and by calling them, they are very dangerous commodities. They're about to turn the world upside down. You know, I really like this recognition. Even though it was a negative connotation, I really like it. I really think the Christians are about to turn the world upside down. Amen? Repeat after me. We are here to turn the world upside down. That's what Christianity is all about. In fact, that is why we pray every day, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God has to be reality today, right now, because of our existence. Wherever we are, individually and corporately, that must be the community where people can experience, touch, and feel Christianity. Amen? But sometimes we forgot about our chosen status and we became religious, institutionalized, corporate churchianity rather than serving Christians, serving God and His people. And I hope that this morning you will begin to realize why we are chosen and why we ought to live our lives as a Christian. In fact, our mission has three segments, three tasks to turn the world upside down. The first is calling, and the second, commission, and the third, God has commanded us. Well, let me explain this for you in a little bit of detail setting. First, God has called us to proclaim the everlasting gospel, the good news. Ellen G. White said in Gospel Workers 3:15, let's read together if you could. The sacrifice of Christ is an atonement for sin, is the great truth around which all other truth cluster. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, must be studied in the light that streams from the cross of Calvary. So, the message is not so much about what, but it is about who. Who is the message? And here, at the cross of Calvary, we see not only death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we see how Jesus lived His life. And that is a life we, as Christians, disciples, ought to follow. Amen? So, the three angels' message. First angel proclaiming that God is the Creator. And the second angel, God is proclaiming that He is the Redeemer. And the third angel proclaiming that God is the Judge. And at the cross of Calvary, God re-inaugurated the kingdom of God on earth. And we have a duty and responsibility in this kingdom of God today. And I believe through the second coming of Christ, soon we will be entering into kingdom of heaven. But problem with us is we're living in a displacement culture. We completely detach our lives from the kingdom of God today and only seeking after the kingdom of heaven. We even say and sing about, this is not my world. We are passing through. We are going home, eternal home. But look at our lives. We are saying and acting out only to care about two things: to maximize my pleasure and minimize my pain. And who care about people dying in hunger behind the prison bars and being sick? As long as my life is content, as I'm living a satisfactory life, that is all I care. to maximize my pleasure and minimize my pain. But at the same time, we say, this is not my world. We are just passing through. Perhaps this is why people, non-Christians, outside of the four walls of the church, saying to Christians, you are not real. Maybe this is why Gandhi said, I hear Christianity, but do not see Christians. We just blow hot airs all the time. We talk about love of God, forgiveness, and assurance in His hope. But churches are so cold, and you can almost ice skate through. And sometimes we even act like Pharisees in coming to Jesus. Jesus, when the kingdom of God would occur? And Jesus replied to Pharisees, kingdom of God is not here or there. It is within you. You see, the Jewish leaders, they were focusing on when. Through their careful observation, they were trying to figure it out how close we are to the second coming of Christ. Wars, famines, and disasters, and crimes. And we say, we are getting closer. And here Jesus is saying, no, our focus is not when, but where. Where is the kingdom of God today? Because when we are faithful to this life, our duty and responsibility in this kingdom of God today, we will be successful and we will enter into kingdom of heaven. Amen? But somehow, we're not getting the message and still living in displacement culture. And we have to change that. Amen? And the second, God has commissioned us to become evangelists and a disciples. Every single one of us. We are chosen by God, commissioned by God to be evangelist and a disciple. Isaiah 58 is our job description. Isaiah 61 is a messianic job description. And Isaiah 58 is ours. But sometimes we only study the last two verses, 13 and 14, how to keep the Sabbath holy, and forget about the rest of the job description. And if you don't know your job description, I sincerely ask you this afternoon, instead of having a meditation with the Saint Matress, please read your job description. Amen? And some of you are wondering, who is the Saint Matress? Isaiah 58, verse 12, it says, we are repairers and restorers. Repairers and restorers. The word repair means to reconnect, to reconcile the relationship between God and His people. And to restore means to transform, change this societal values with kingdom values and principles. So we are commissioned by God to be repairers and restorers. Okay, you get that? All right, I'm a self-appointed educator, so I'm going to have a quiz. First, when you go to Matthew chapter 28, which we call Great Commission chapter, it says, baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Are we being the repairers or restorers? How many of you think we are being repairers? Raise your hand. How many of you think we are being restorers? Raise your hand. And those of you who don't have any clue what's going on, raise your hand. I see we have some transparency. We are being repairers. When we baptize people in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, we are reconnecting the broken relationship between God and His people. Amen? Sometimes we think we are just getting people wet into a church membership. That is not what the baptism is about. Church membership is important. My wife and I, we were baptized in 1991. I grew up as a, in my mother's side of family, Buddhist, and my father's side of family, Roman Catholic, and I became Adventist. And the church membership is very critical and important for us. But church membership is just tree. And beyond that tree, there is forest, the kingdom of God that we are part of. But sometimes we don't see that big picture, and we got stuck with just tree in front of us. We are called by God to be repairs, to bring reconciliation between God and His people. Amen? And the second, he said, go and make disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Are we being repairs or restorers? Restorers, very smart people. We only had two options. Yeah, we are being restorers. It said, go and make disciples. Two challenges. Number one, it said go. But we are not going anymore. We stay behind these four walls and we say to the rest of the world, come and see. And people say, come and see what? God did not command it to his disciples to say, come and see. No, he said, go get them. We have to not only interact in the four walls of the church, but we must interact with the world that exists outside of the four walls of the church. We must go where people are. Second, he said, make disciples. That word make means to equip and develop disciples. But somehow we are not doing that well. Instead, we're trying to train people to become mechanics, to work within the church industry. No, that's not what the church is about. Church is not about training people. It's about equipping and developing, educating and enlightening so that individual will become committed disciples, committed followers. Amen? That is why we are chosen by God and we are restorers. If you don't remember anything, what I just said, please infuse in your mind this, a chart and my corny jokes. We are repairers, therefore we are evangelists. And our duty is to proclaim the good news. And we are restorers, therefore we are disciples. And our duty is to demonstrate love of God. Amen? We, as Christians, do not have an option. This is non-negotiable. It's mandatory, it's obligatory by the word of God that we must be the evangelist and the disciples. I spent half of a year on the road, and my wife is here, bless her heart. Every time I go to the airport, I go to the gate, and I pray for the pilot and make sure that he had a good rest, didn't drink anything that, not supposedly drink. And I pray for the mechanics that make sure they do their job right. And also make sure that airplane has two wings. Because there's no way that I'm going to fly airplane with one wing. Because it's not going to fly, isn't it? Same as that. We as a Christian, our journey requires two wings. We must be the evangelist and disciple. We must proclaim the good news and must demonstrate love of God. It's not either or. Every single one of us, we are commissioned by God to be evangelists and a disciples. Amen? Repeat after me. I'm an evangelist. I'm a disciple. And don't you ever doubt about your commission. Don't ever say evangelist is about being pastor or conference, full-time evangelist or some big. No. Every single one of you, you are commissioned by God to be evangelist. And you are followers of Christ. You are disciples. You must commit it to your commission. Amen? And the third, we are commended by God to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love His people. The problem with us is, you know, we do love God. That's not that difficult challenge. God first loved us, and we respond. The problem with us is the second part, that love your neighbor. And we act like a priest and Levites. If I stop and help him, what will happen to me? We're all concerning about my benefit. But here, Samaritan, it says, if I do not stop and help this man, what will happen to him? He put others before and above. There are seven colors in rainbow, you know, red and blue and orange, and there's one color that I don't really like, and I don't even know the name of it. But does it make any difference whether I know or not, whether I like it or not? No. Rainbow is a rainbow with the seven colors. And God is saying to us, take care of my people. Take care of them. Amen? And I'm very excited to be here, really. Not only because of your amazing holistic ministry, but because seeing heaven on earth. And I have visited, my wife and I have visited a number of churches. Either they are black or white or Asian. But look at you. Amazing. It's awesome. We are all children of God. Amen? But sometimes, you know, we have the same mentality as the Jews. You know, when Jesus came to temple, cast out all the merchants and reclaimed that temple is a house of prayer for all nations. The Sadducees decide to kill Jesus. Number one, financial crisis. You know, Sadducees were getting benefit as a byproduct of a merchants, you know, selling things in the courtyard. Second, they didn't like what Jesus said. In their mind, temple is only for Jews, Israelites, only people who keep Sabbath. To them, temple was not available or inclusive for Gentiles, Samaritans, and Romans. So when Jesus said temple is for all nations, which includes Samaritans and Gentiles and Romans, they didn't like that theology. So they decided to kill him. If we have that same mentality, we need to change that mindset. Amen? Kingdom of God is for all nations. And in fact, the most important question is not who is my neighbor, but are we being the neighbor always to everyone, regardless of their race, gender, socioeconomic status? We must be the good neighbor. Being good neighbor is about being church. It's about being Christian. Amen? And I really, you know, believe that we as a Seventh-day Adventist, we also, I say this carefully, without apology, we ought to become also 7 days Adventist, not only Seventh-day Adventist. We must be a Christian every day of life. not just 24 hours, sunset to sunset, but every single moment of our lives, we must exist as a change makers. We must live our lives as a difference makers, as a Christian that God has called and commissioned and commanded us to live. Amen? Richard Stearns, he is the president of, and the CEO of World Vision. He said in his book, The Hole in the Gospel, he said, "The 4 hours hungry while you had all you needed. I was thirsty, but you drank bottled water. I was a stranger, and you wanted me deported. I needed clothes, but you needed more clothes. I was sick, and you pointed out the sickness, the behaviors that led to my sickness. And I was in prison, and you said I was getting what I deserved." We can say all we want about God and His love, but if we do not live and demonstrate the love of God, it's all words, empty words. This is why John said, "Brothers and sisters, let us not love one another with just word and tongues, but in deed and truth." Amen? Christianity is not about just understanding, you know, some sort of a conceptual framework of a plan of a salvation. Christianity is about Jesus Christ and period, and we must be connected with Him every moment of our lives. And Jesus went through all the towns and villages and teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. This is a life we ought to follow. So wherever you are, whatever you do, your duty and responsibility is to proclaim the good news and to demonstrate love of God. As a student, as a janitor, cook, administrator, or secretary, whatever you do and your profession, it doesn't make any difference. The most important question is, how can we serve God and His people? Amen? But somehow we kind of forgotten about our chosen status, and we're trying to define, you know, who we are in this life. You know, just being a doctor and lawyer and having a PhD behind your name, and, you know, most important question is not those external and superficial, the way of, you know, your identity. The most important question is to whom we belong to and whose we are, because that defines who we are in this world. Amen? And like Matthew 4, it said, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." When you read the Greek words, it's quite interesting. It is basically saying, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. The problem with us is we tend to interpret that word and focusing on we being fisher. It's our internal focus. But Jesus was not really focusing on, you know, we being fisher. He is focusing on people. I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. You getting it? If you can imagine, if you are a fisherman, you don't go out to the Sea of Galilee, it's like a huge lake, and you don't go out by yourself, because they cast out net, and the net fishing and the boat, the how it is shaped, if you pull the, you know, net, your boat will tip over. So you have to go out by two or three boats together, collectively, and pull the net opposite direction, you know, two or three ways, and then you can catch the fish. Basically, what they do, they work collectively to catch fish and bring to the community where people can buy and sell. prosper, have access to the resources. But at the same time, they take fishes that are not marketable, that lost the head and the body is chopped up, and the fishes that are desirable, marketable, they set aside for people in the community we call at least marginalized, disenfranchised from our society. Orphans, widows, prostitutes, Gentiles, people who cannot come to the regular market to buy fish, they set aside the fish for at least of these. Does that make sense to you? So God is saying, Jesus is saying, I want you to fish for both people, for whole community. So everyone in the community will have access to the resource and will be benefit by your effort. Does that make sense to you? It's about people, why we exist. But we do not see people. That's the problem. We only see prospects. We only see people who qualify, maybe qualified to be part of our congregation. We must see people, God's people, the precious souls that God is concerned of. Everybody. Whether people can who can buy or cannot go to the regular market. Amen? So change your attitude. It's not about you. It's about God and His people. Amen? Chip Sweeney said, sometimes we as a Christians, we have a great understanding of the plan of salvation. We have a deeper understanding of the truth, which is very important. We have to have that. But the problem is sometimes that's all we have, the big head. And that head is not connected with our heart. And our heart is not connected with our hands. We must be a whole person, amen? And we must reach out to whole person. This is why Mother Teresa said, I don't do big things, I do small things with a big love. Amen? So churches are not about, becoming huge, mega church. No, church is about being a salt and the light of the world. Connecting public sectors, private and non-profit, and other churches in the community as a whole community. We must engage in our community and transform our community. Our society must be a different place because of our existence. It's not about how can we grow our own congregation in a quantitative way. It's about how can we change our community in a quality of life must be enhanced improvement because of our effort, because of our existence. And as a byproduct, your congregation will grow. Amen? But sometimes, all we care about is quantitative success rather than focusing on being faithful to our journey. When you are faithful, you will be successful at the end. But somehow, we kind of sold on to a materialism. And when you look at Revelation 18, the most important thing on the list is gold and silver and precious. And the least important thing on the list, you can see it, it's about people. We really don't have a respect for people. Sometimes it happens even church. We're concerned about gold and silver more than anything else. Why we do not respect and have a concern for people? Well, It's my own conclusion. But I think we tend to believe, well, not believe, but we tend to practice Darwinism. Darwinism basically says we are a product. We are a product of matter plus time plus chance. Darwinism is saying we are an accident. We are a product of a matter and time and chance. And the death is the greatest reality. Sometimes we behave that way and treat each other like product of a time plus matter plus chance. We are not. Every single one of us created by God. Amen? Amen? Even idolaters, created by God. Even the worst criminal that you can think of, created by God. And our job is not to judge and condemn. Our duty and responsibility is to embrace their hurt and share the forgiveness and the hope in God's assurance. It's not about building fortress and separating our lives from the rest of the society and thinking that we became peculiar people. No, that's not what Christianity is about. It's about more people will collectively, corporately experience kingdom of God today with us so that people will enter into kingdom of heaven tomorrow. Amen? I'm going to give you illustration here. I hear Pastor James, you usually end your sermon at 12 o'clock, sir? Yeah. I mean, one time I went to a church, they had like a digital clock, and at 12 o'clock it was blinking. And I asked Pastor, you know, what's wrong with that clock, sir? You know, he said, it's time to end your sermon, you know. You know, when you go to synagogue, the rabbi reads the scroll, you know, in a standing format. Then he sits down and begin to talk about, in a scripture he just read, hour, 2 hours. So my sermon would be about 2 hours. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But, you know, since I don't come around that often, I'm going to torture you for another about 10 minutes. Is that okay with you? All right. And if you have to leave, you know, if it is your religious conviction, you know, 12 o'clock is the end of a service. God loves you and he will honor your opinion, okay? But if you don't mind, you know, just bear with me for another 10 minutes. And it's a prophetic timing. I just lost my thought. Here you go. And sometimes we say, you know, there will be poor always in this land. And they use that as an excuse not to engage in a community. But here Jesus said, therefore, we don't read that part. We just read, you know, the poor will be with us always and make some kind of excuse out of it. So no, he said, therefore, I commend you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in your land. Amen? And those need is not just the physical needs. You know, the Bible said throughout the Bible, God said, God wants us to have abundant life, the fullness of a life. And that word, the root word is holos. It's the same root word for shalom. The word, you know, the holos means, you know, it's complete person, whole person being, physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually. So when we say to each other shalom, it means, are you well physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually? So we cannot say to one another, I don't really give a care about your physical, you know, struggle or social, you know, a disconnection and a mental challenge. All I care about is, you know, teach you 28 fundamental beliefs and baptize you in the name of the church. It's not work that way. It's not that. It's about concerning each one of us, each person as a whole person, as a holos, abundant life, fullness of a life. Are you well physically, socially, mentally, and spiritually? That is who we are as a Christian. So when we encounter with one another, you must have that heart. Amen? But somehow, you know, we act like what the Pastor Chuck Swindoll said once, churches are full of sleepy saints who are merely logging time in God's family, not knowing what to do with the current life, but wants to live forever. I have a friend of mine who is an atheist, and he said one day, you know, Christians are very selfish. In fact, we drive by all the churches every day and have no idea what's going on in those churches. We ought to become transparent like McDonald's. You know, you don't have to go to McDonald's to find out what they sell and why they exist. You know exactly why McDonald's exists and what services you could be benefited by their service. We as a church, when people buy, passing by us, they must understand why we exist in this community and what sort of ministries and services they could be in a benefit by. If they drive by us and saying, well, we just wonder what this is all about, then you do not have any influence in this community. People will not know why you exist. Then you lost your mission of being church. You know, 1 John, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen it with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And the life appeared. We have seen it, testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So through our lives, because we belong to Jesus Christ and we are His committed disciples, people surrounding our homes and wherever we are, at the work, at the school, wherever you are, you must represent the kingdom values and principles so that people can hear from you, touch and smell Christianity. The Christianity must be real in this world, not just something they hear about it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, the Christian life is not adding Jesus to one's own way of life, but renouncing their personal way of life for His, and being willing to pay whatever cost that may require. Amen? Are you willing to pay the cost of a discipleship? It's not about you maximizing your pleasure and minimizing your pain in this life. It's about you being chosen, called by God to proclaim that everlasting gospel. You commissioned by God to be an evangelist and disciple. And you commanded by God to love God and His people. Amen? So, no more self-centered thinking. No more, you know, just your church. No more about this my life. Stop making any excuses. This life belongs to God. And when we are faithful to His calling, we will be successful at the end. And I'm going to end my sermon with a story about Somersville, West Virginia Adventist Church. And every time I go other places, I talk about you like this. There's a Seventh Adventist Church in Somersville, West Virginia. I mean, this is not new to you, really. You know, you are doing exactly what they are doing. It's amazing. And the church was a very small congregation, and they decided to change their community, transform their society. They went out to community and asked people first, what do you need? What are the challenges in this community? And most of the people say, well, we'd like to go to work. And this is like end of Appalachia and middle of nowhere. Even, you know, my GPS didn't work. If your GPS doesn't work, it's middle of wilderness. And that's exactly what this is. And anyway, make a long story short, they decided to go out and ask people, what is the need in this community? People said, we have to go about 50 miles out to get a job. And there's no place for us to leave our children behind. So church decided to open up every day for a daycare center. Amen? And I see so many churches. We have so many churches in this North American division, and most of the churches are open only once a week. And that is not even good stewardship. You pay all that mortgage and the high maintenance costs, and just once a week? Is something wrong with that picture? Amen? Church must be utilized throughout the week. Amen? And that's what they decide to do. They open up a church and having a child care center every day. And the children come and they sing, you know, God loves me, and they read and write, and at the end of the day, they have a literature to take home. Problem number two, they take a literature to their home, ask their parents to read for them. 43% of this population, illiterate, they cannot read. So they decide to teach adults how to read, write, utilizing computer, you know, learning tools and whatnot, just like you. And they are enhancing their, you know, competency, the skill set they require to become more productive. Anyway, so that was the second thing they did. And third thing they did, as they encounter with the community, they find out most of them are not benefited by the health insurance. They have to go 50 miles for the clinic. And people are not going out there because of lack of transportation. I mean, this is where people chew tobacco. And they don't even, you know, brush their teeth, you know, 2-3 times a day. It's middle of nowhere, really. They still do this, what do you call it, so moonlighting or moonshining? How do you know that? Moonshining. And this is just that community. And anyway, they find out that this community is in need of medical care. So they contact the Loma Linda Hospital, and God donated all this medical equipment, and contact Maranatha and build that clinic. And soon, the number of pharmaceutical companies begin to donate in samples to just distribute. And also, West Virginia, the university, begin to send their social work students to do the practicum, and also nursing majors to do, you know, practicum here at the clinic. And a few years later, you know, they also find out that the children in this community, there is no, you know, shopping malls that can hang out. There is no bowling alley, no movie theater, nothing, no civilization in this community. So all they do after school, they go to mountain and grow, you know, marijuana and reproduce themselves. That's all they know. So church decide to build the gymnasium for the youth in their community. They will open not only Sabbath afternoon, but every day, that people can come and play basketball and whatnot. And we were there the opening, you know, day, and the lady all the way to the left is the from the district, the governor office, and the tallest lady. We were supposed to having a Miss West Virginia, but she was sick that day, and they sent Mrs. West Virginia, and a quite interesting community. And you can see my wife. I think my wife is the most beautiful, you know, than anyone else. And yeah, I'm getting a lot of brownie points here, you know. So incredible. They only had about $1,000 in the bank account, And now they have over $5 million worth of ministry. And most of them are contributed by the communities. The community are saying, you are making a difference in our lives. Because of you, I'm a better mother today, better father today, better person today. And in fact, they asked the church to build school for their children. They said, we don't want to send our children to public institutions. Can you educate our children? And like I said, that this is the middle of nowhere, and 2 miles away, you know, our GPS stopped working and didn't know where to go. And we pulled over to the gas station and asked a guy, you know, where this Somersville, West Virginia. And the guy said, oh, you mean friends are fun? That's what they called them. Friends are fun, you know. And he knew exactly where the church was located, 2 miles away. He said, go down to the, you know, creek and turn left when you see the rock, and turn right at the second tree, and you will, I mean, you see rocks everywhere and the trees, right? But, you know, this is the Somersville, the West Virginia. And they knew exactly where the church was. 2 miles out. The church was a difference maker. The members of the church, every single one of them, they were evangelists and disciples. Wherever they are, and whatever they do, they proclaim the good news and demonstrate love of God. Because of that, this community is now, today, Kingdom of God on earth. Amen? My brothers and sisters, if you don't remember anything, please remember that we are repairers and restorers. We are evangelists and disciples. We are here to proclaim the good news and demonstrate love of God. Amen? Amen. So I ask, this is actually a quotation I'd like to share. Go, do what I have told you to do. Teach that I have taught you to teach. Act as I have taught you to act. And love as I have shown you to love. Build my kingdom in all the nations. And this is what you are made to do.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Kwan, for reminding us of what we're here for. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you have called, you have commissioned us to go and bear fruit for you. We thank you for the privilege we have of being part of your team, being your hands, being your feet, your mouth, to those in our community who need to know about you. Continue to use us for your glory in all that we do. We give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.